Shout it loud, hallelujah. Shout a miracle receiving, hallelujah. Let the person who wants the largest touch of God here tonight shout the loudest, hallelujah. Let's close our eyes as we raise our two hands to the Lord and pray for ourselves like this. Oh, Holy Ghost, do it again, do it again in my life. I open my eyes to see Jesus, who is seated upon the throne. And pass me not to gentle Savior, yeah, my own book cry. Why on all as thou art holy, do not pass me. Savior, 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 my humble cry. Hallelujah, why on all as thou art holy, do not pass me by. And our Lord is a great God. Hallelujah. Great be above all thy Lord. Our Lord. Oh yes, he's a great God. Hallelujah. Great be above all thy Lord. Our Lord. Sing it loud and clear, sing it loud and clear. Great God. Hallelujah. Above all our God, our God. Oh yes, he's a great God. Hallelujah. Above all our God. All of our God. They are the world of man. You are the only one. There is no like you. Hallelujah. Sing it loud and clear. They are the world of man. Hallelujah. You are the only one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. You are. There is no. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's always just the same. Oh, praise his holy name. That is the reason I love him so. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah. Is the sweetest name I know. Oh, he's always just the same. Oh, praise His holy name. Hallelujah, that is our reason. I love Him so. Hallelujah, Jesus is the sweetest name. Complete in Him. I am complete in Him. Complete in Him. Hallelujah. I am complete. Sing it loud and clear. Praise. Hallelujah. Praise. Hallelujah. God is not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Oh, I'm complete. Oh, it's complete. Oh. Hallelujah. Where is? Hallelujah. God. Send that fire. The Holy Ghost fire. Send that fire again. The Holy Ghost fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Where's the Holy Ghost fire burning in my soul? Holy Ghost on fire. Holy Ghost on fire. Eh? Pentecost on fire. Eh? Fire burning in my soul. Fire burning in my soul. Fire burning in my soul. Holy Ghost on fire. Holy Ghost on fire. Eh? Pentecostal fire. Eh? Fire burning in. Go on. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. Oh, I am complete. Oh, yes, complete. Oh, yes, complete. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, complete. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 7 prayers I want you to pray now. These prayers are attacking prayers, direct attacking prayers. You cannot afford to keep quiet. Neither can you afford to let somebody's voice overshadow your own. Shout this with boiling anger. Garment of death, prepared for me. Catch fire in the name of Jesus. Say the garments ablaze. It is not your lot in the name of Jesus. Catch fire now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Masoka poda rabo somponda kaya boshanta. Aha. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. As somebody is just entering to this meeting now, you better settle down, start praying now. Because this next prayer is part of why the Lord brought you here. Say this loud and clear. Stubborn
powers assigned to bring me sorrow. Wear the garment of sorrow. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Aha. That's right. Something is happening already. Aha, aha, aha. In Jesus' name we pray. As you pray this third prayer, if you are this person here, you were not sleeping, you were wide awake, but your own mother came to you and told you that she would destroy you. You remember that incident very clearly. Run quickly to the altar and be on your knees. As you pray this prayer, shout this with boiling anger. Goliath domestic witchcraft. Scatter! In the name of Jesus. It is good for you to open your mouth and pray now. Basetende keyabo shenterabo kopolaba. That's right. Yes. Yes. Aha, 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 aha. In Jesus' name we pray. Say it with boiling anger to every power assigned to bury my joy. There! In the name of Jesus. Pray with boiling anger. That's why Jesus brought you here. Aha, 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 aha. In Jesus' name we pray. Those of you at the altar, lay your right hand upon your head now. Father, let your power fall upon these your children here. Let every yoke of domestic witchcraft be broken. Let the power of God now begin to move from person to person, from person to person, from person to person, from person to person, from person to person. Every covenant agenda for your life, I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. Those of you at the front now, begin to shake your head vigorously, vigorously. Let every tampering with your virtues and tampering with your potentials and tampering with your glory, shake them off. Shake them off now. That's right. That's right. That's right. Shake it off. Enough is enough. You have been stagnant for too long. Let the power of stagnation be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. In the name of Jesus. Father, let your power fall upon these your children at this altar. Let the yoke of the oppressor assigned to bury anybody's life here be broken to pieces. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. May go back to your seat rejoicing now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now shout this loud and clear. Cobweb powers covering my glory. Catch fire in the name of Jesus. Deal with cobweb power covering your glory. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, I fire back every arrow of limitation. In the name of Jesus, fire back the arrows of limitation. That's right. Bakapola karibo soponteka Danakaya Boshende Rabokosente. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, I shall laugh last over all my enemies, no matter their number and strength. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to declare it. I shall laugh last over my enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We give you praise, O Lord, for your mighty hand of power and of strength and glory. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This evening, O Lord, open our understanding. As many of your people as are gathered here today, let their lives no longer remain the same. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. A louder amen. For about 2 weeks now, we have been looking at the University of Champions. And we explain to you who the champions are. And we explain that for you to be a divine champion, there are 10 schools you need to attend and pass. And we began to look at those schools one by one. We started with the school of the wilderness. Wilderness represents difficulties, pressures, oppositions. The first school you must pass through. We explained that is the rough seas that makes the best sailors, and it's wars that makes generals. And we explained all along that without adversity and temporary defeat, you never know the kind of material you are made of. And that in every failure, there is a lesson to learn. That was the school of the wilderness. Then we went to the school of patience, or the school of time. And we told you that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Then we went to the third school, school of failure. How that failure does not have to be permanent. And that the only failure are those who never try again. Then we went to the school of motives. That is important to confirm the reason you are doing what you are doing. And that God in his own wisdom, when he's checking out our lives, checks our motives for what we're doing. And when God begins to judge sin, he doesn't judge the outward appearance. He judges the lockings of your heart, the pinings of your heart, the ulterior motives, the inner desire. God judges what is going on in the laboratory of your heart. And that people might come out and say, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. But God knows the inner motive of each one. Whatever you are doing is important, that your motivation, whatever is motivating you, your motive must be quite heavenly and divine. And I think that was where we stopped last Wednesday. We go to school number 5 today. The school of self-will. The school of self-will. And that takes us to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Remember, these teachings are for those who want to become divine champions. They are not for ordinary people, but those who are determined to make it. Those who have developed a rugged determination to succeed. It's not for those who just want to get by, but for those who are determined that their eagles must fly. I pray that if there is anyone here tonight and the eagle of your destiny has been shut down, let that eagle receive life now. Let it receive life now. Let it receive life in the name of Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. Please listen very, very carefully. Listen very, very carefully. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. This was Jesus' darkest hour. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. 42. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. So much for those who say we don't have to repeat prayers. There you are. He's praying the same prayer now, the third time, saying the same words. He didn't change the words. The same words. That is, thy will be done. I want you to note that Christ is saying the same things again and again, and yet ending it with, wait, I want your will to be done, not mine. There is a serious school in the school of the champions called the school of the self-will. Self-will is defined as pleasing oneself, especially in opposition to the wishes and desire of others, or in opposition to the wishes and desires of the Almighty. Another word for self-will is stubbornness, self-pleasing, arrogant, overbearing. Self-will is a terrible thing. Self-will brings destruction into the life of an individual. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, when you are insisting, whether it's right or wrong, I want to do it and I must do it. Proverbs chapter 1, 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The turning away of the simple shall slay them, meaning that the sin and self-satisfaction will bring destruction. All self-will stems from something called pride. Pride. The Bible tells us that pride goeth before disaster, and an arrogant attitude precedes a fall. Pride blinds us from our own weaknesses. Pride keeps us from seeking help when we need help. Pride keeps us away from making up with people and making amends to people we have hurt. Pride causes us to blame others for our problems. The Bible says pride goeth before fall. What is pride? Pride is overvaluing yourself. Pride is inordinate self-esteem. Pride is lofty self-respect. Pride is elevation of character. Pride is being full of oneself. Pride is insolence, self-exaltation, self-promotion. Pride is real or imaginary air of superiority. Pride is to have excessively high opinion about yourself. Pride is to be satisfied with whatever you have achieved. When you begin to describe, well, I went to University of Toronto, then from University of Toronto, I went to Wisconsin, from Wisconsin, I went to San Jose, from San Jose, I went to this, I went to that, I went to this, I was the first person there, I was the first person there, then you are just full of yourself. I have a master's in English from University of so and so. Well, do you want to hang the certificate on your neck on the streets? Pride is the first sin in the universe. The devil committed the sin of pride and it was chased down. Pride is the darling sin of the devil. Pride is fear of competition and hatred for rival. Pride is big-headedness. Your head is too big. Self-glorification, overconfidence. Pride is arrogant confidence. Pride is when you decide to stay lost instead of just asking somebody for direction. Pride is looking down on things and on people. This is a very, very serious matter. You know, one of our pastors here brought his father to me many years ago. And we were trying to minister to the man that, well, Mr. Daddy, you need deliverance. Daddy, you need to start coming for prayers. This old man said somebody comes to him at night, presses him down on the bed, and tries to suffocate him. So he said, Daddy, you need to come and start praying. You need to come for deliverance. He looked at my counseling room like this. Looked at all of us sitting down. He hissed. I can't come to this kind of church. See, number one, you have not built a proper cathedral. Number two, you don't have burial ground here. Say, if I die, say, are these the kind of people who will do the burial? So I said, Baba, try and die first. Then all other things will organize it. You see that kind of pride that people exhibit. When you look down on things and on people, it's a terrible thing indeed. Pride is the sin of angels in heaven that make God to throw them down. Pride is when you are too big for God to use you. Pride is when you find it difficult to say, I don't know. Or you are too big to apologize and make peace. Or you are reflecting the spirit of spiritual wealth. We are heavier than some other person. God hates the sin of pride with perfect hatred, and anybody with that spirit cannot be used by the Almighty. Get that one straight now. God hates the pride with perfect hatred. Pride will never admit a weakness. Pride will hold on to his right when he knows that he should really drop it. Pride is self-vindication at all costs. Pride is seeking recognition and praise of yourself. Pride is seeking revenge when offended. Pride is refusing to ask for advice from others when you need their advice desperately. Pride is continually comparing yourself to others and proclaiming that you are better. Pride is when you are desiring the approval of others. Pride is when you do not admit your own personal sin even before God. Pride is when you keep seeing the fault of others, but refuse to see your own fault. So a lot of people who say, I'm not proud, is a lie. That's why I'm trying to tell you what it means. Pride is feeling sad when others are honored above you. Pride is when you find it difficult to accept criticism. Pride is a terrible disease. It has destroyed many churches, that destroyed many marriages, that destroyed many businesses, that destroyed so many lives. What actually destroyed the Tower of Babel was pride. And therefore, pride is the oldest sin. And it opens the doors to other sins to come in, like greed. Greed. Greed is when you feel that yourself, you have not had enough. That's when we could have somebody is doing naming ceremony or is doing a bad day and the people are serving food. Give you the first plate, you put it under your chair. Second plate, you put it under the chair. Third plate, you put it under the chair. And then you say, excuse me, we have not been served. We have not been served. Greed is an outflow of pride. Envy too is an outflow of pride. Envy is saying that self has not received his due honor. Self has not received his due. Self has not received his honor. Then anger now is another outflow of pride. Anger is when self is offended. They are offending me. I don't like what they are doing to me, so you are protesting. If you put all sermons about sins together, and you are allowed to preach only one sermon, that only sermon will be on pride, because it is the sin of Lucifer. Some speak proud words. Proud words. I had coffee with the Pope. I sat down with President Nixon. I had breakfast with this. I was in London. I was in Paris. I was in Greece. I was in Japan. You talk. They talk sometimes. They are what the Bible calls proud words. Some people have proud manners. They say, well, I don't want to relate to people like this. They are below my level, this and that and that. Some, they pride themselves in their certificates and in their knowledge and in the books they've read. Or in the kind of family they have come from. I pray that tonight, anybody who is being ruled and controlled by this horrible spirit will be set free in the name of Jesus. Be set free, you'll be set free, you'll be set free, you'll be set free. You'll be set free in the name of Jesus. Pride great before a fall, the Bible says, and haughty spirit before tragedy and disaster. If that is in your life, you're already a failure in the school of champions. Failure in the school of champions. I was in a particular church one day, and somebody was asked to play an instrument. I think it was careless. He made a mistake. And they told him, so because you made that mistake, you are suspended for 6 months. Well, in some other places, a fellow would say, suspend me for 6 months, go to another church, go and play. They'll pay me good money. But this fellow took his instruments and was walking about, following the pastor and begging him throughout the day, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Beg. By the time he begged throughout the day, the man said, you are forgiven. That's what we call humility in serving the Lord. A self-willed person cannot be trusted. A person that cannot be trusted cannot be used by the Almighty. And a person that cannot be used cannot be promoted. And a person that cannot be promoted is stuck with himself. When you refuse to listen to God, that is self-will. When you refuse to submit to authority, a divine authority, self-will. When you refuse to receive instruction, self-will. When you refuse to sacrifice for others, it's self-will. When God asks you to do something that is contrary to your own plan, your desire, then you are entering a self-will test. You don't like it. You don't enjoy it. But yet he is telling you, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. That's self-will test. When I came back from England many years ago, I went back to my former church, which is a cathedral-like kind of church with big organs and things like that. They welcomed me, and I was there. Until the Lord said, get out of here. I said, to where? I said, to Makoko. And I left. And we were meeting in a shop. I was the most educated person there. And those of you know about Makoko in those days, the most terrible bosses in this Lagos are the ones running Adekule to Makoko. In fact, they call them Oloye because there is generally no windscreen or no nothing. And we're going there to meet. Those who were seeing me there, one of them was bold enough. He said, you this man, if you had read mathematics, you would have said you're a madman. How can you come back from England? This is where you're coming. Perhaps if I disobeyed, I won't be standing here talking to you today. So something is against your desire. And God says, do it. That is self-will test. Look at Abraham in the Bible. God said, go and sacrifice Isaac. It was against his will, but he went ahead. He passed his test. Look at somebody like Jonah. Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh. The man diverted the journey to Tarshish. God had to deal with him before he could get wise. Look at Naaman in the Bible. He was asked to dip himself in River Jordan 7 times and be made whole. He didn't like it, but that was what he had to do. Look at Peter too, who had fished and caught nothing all night. And Jesus said, put your net on the right hand side. It wasn't what he wanted to do, but he did it. Why does God pass us through the self-will school? It's to reveal our personal ambitions that are contrary to the purposes of God. It's to reveal our selfishness. It's to break our self-will. A self-will person is inflexible. A self-will person is inconsiderate. A self-will person is always in constant conflict with people. He feels that any time they say something wrong to him, he has to reply. Most church issues and fighting in the church is because of self-will. The truth is this. The self-will reveals the level of your submission to God. Life has been made in such a way that everybody must answer to someone. Life is full of people telling you what to do. If everyone only did as they wish, the whole world would be a chaotic place. Even this Bible in our hand, if you want me to pick one word that summarizes what our attitude should be to the Bible, it's submission. The Bible can be summed up in one word, submission. If he says, thou shall not, it means thou shall not. It means you must not do this. You must not do that. If you cannot submit to others, you cannot lead others. If you cannot submit to authority, no one will submit to your own authority. And let me tell you one secret today. In life, if you are going through the school of the champion, the University of Champion, the Lord will set you a self-will test to see the level of submission you have to God and whether you can really sacrifice anything for others. I pray today that any iron in anybody's heart, any stubborn spirit, which the Bible says is rebellion, is like witchcraft, the blood of Jesus will clear it away in the name of Jesus. To clear it away in the name of Jesus. To clear it away in the name of Jesus. To clear it away in the name of Jesus. School number six is the school of discouragement. The school of discouragement. Discouragement is defined as the act of depriving a person of courage. Discouragement. Removing your courage. Depriving you of your confidence. At some point in your life as a person in the universe of champions, you will face the school of discouragement. In the New Testament, discouragement is translated as fainting and growing weary. When you allow fear, at least you are expecting danger, you are apprehensive of danger, discouragement follows the fear to come in. That fear will produce weakness, and the fear will paralyze one into inactivity. Fear causes discouragement. But the Bible is very straightforward. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And the commonest demon in this world is the demon of fear. Look at Psalm 53 verse 5. Psalm 53 verse 5. I pray that tonight, anyone going through the valley of fear and through the valley of shaking in the heart, the Lord will deliver you in the name of Jesus. Psalm 53 verse 5. So there were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encamped against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God had despised them. There they were in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encamped against thee. And thou hast put them to shame, because God had despised them. So fear, where there is no fear, brings in discouragement. And fear will paralyze into inactivity. And immediately fear moves in, faith jumps out. Both of them are mutually exclusive. You either have one or the other. A lot of people are so fearful of all kinds of things that cannot even touch or move close to them. The trouble is that those things we fear sometimes, if we know how much they fear us, we'll be amazed. But once they see that you are afraid, then they're able to work against your life and able to trouble your destiny. I pray that every paralytic fear afflicting anyone here will be scattered in the name of Jesus. To be scattered in the name of Jesus. Will be scattered, will be scattered, will be scattered. Will be scattered. It will be scattered in the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus will say, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. One man jumped down from a lorry and broke his two legs because of fear. He was on a lonely road, and that was the last vehicle passing for the night. Unfortunately, that vehicle carries coffins. So there were two coffins that they pushed at the back. And the vehicle stopped and picked up this man. He didn't know that there was somebody they picked up before who got tired of sitting down, and he felt inside the coffin. He found that the The clothing there was comfortable. He decided to sleep inside. As the vehicle moved on, it entered into a porthole somewhere. The vehicle shook badly, and this fellow dropped from the coffin onto the floor of the lorry. That was all the second man that was given a lift saw. And he jumped out of a moving vehicle and broke his legs. Fear can paralyze, and it causes discouragement. Fatigue can also cause discouragement. We become fatigued when our task is greater than our resources. Fatigue is what some people call burnout. That is, you have depleted your strength. Frustration can also cause discouragement. You have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, and the person is not getting anywhere. Then it starts getting discouraged. Being forsaken can also cause discouragement. When you are abandoned, you feel deserted, then discouragement comes in. Failure can also cause discouragement. When you are doing something and the thing is failing in your hand, it can cause discouragement. God, in his own wisdom, has organized life in such a way that if you must become his divine champion, he will pass you through that school. Why does God allow you to pass through the school of discouragement? God does that, number one, so as to cause you to find your joy in God alone, not just in your circumstances. It's easy to rejoice when there is plenty of money in your pocket. But when you are rejoicing whether there is money or not, then you are passing the test. Why does God make us to pass through this school? It's to reveal to us that we are not self-sufficient. We need God, we need people. That's why he passes us through this school. Why does God pass us through the school of discouragement? It's to reveal our motives. Whether what you are doing is for self-glory or to the glory of God. Why does God allow us to pass through the school of discouragement? It's to teach us to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. So for those who want to pass through the school of discouragement, and they are determined to pass the exam, you must always encourage yourself in the Lord. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encouraging yourself in the Lord is a personal responsibility. Happiness is a choice. Sadness is a choice. Encouraging yourself in the Lord is a personal responsibility. If you must pass in that school, I pray that every power of discouragement and loss in the destiny of anyone here will be buried alive in the name of Jesus. To be buried alive, to be buried alive, to be buried alive, to be buried alive. In the name of Jesus, raise up your right hand to the heavens and declare this loud and clear. Every good thing that discouragement has stolen from my life, I recover them by fire. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare it loud and clear. In Jesus' name we pray. The second thing you do if you want to pass in this school is to become a Bible addict. Read the Bible promises of God constantly. Be an addict of knowing what God has said about the situations. The third thing you should do is to listen to the voice of God. God will speak to you in the midst of that discouragement. The fourth thing to do is that you must make attending church a regular thing. You must not neglect the assembly of the saints of God. And the fifth thing is that you must become a prayer addict. All of us will enter into that school of discouragement. It is how we deal with that discouragement that determines whether we're going to be successful or we're not going to be successful. When you allow the spirit of discouragement to cage you completely, you will take the wrong decisions, you will pray the wrong prayers, you will go to the wrong places, talk to the wrong people, take the wrong medication from evil prophets, you will do the wrong things if you allow discouragement to cage you. That's why you must always encourage yourself in the Lord. Discouraged people are not very good captains of God's army. That's why the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. School number 7. The school of misunderstanding. The school of misunderstanding. In Luke chapter 19, I'm reading verse 10. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. That is the agenda of Jesus. In John 10:10, the Bible says, John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Today, in this strange world, you find parents and their children consistently struggling to understand each other. We sometimes struggle to understand those who we're working with or those who live around us. Sometimes misunderstandings arise that hinder progress. Sometimes misunderstandings arise that will hinder relationships. Sometimes misunderstandings arise that will hinder peace of mind. Usually when misunderstanding occurs, it's because of the gaps that we have to deal with. Generation gap, that will cause misunderstanding. Social gap, that will cause misunderstanding. A man came from a family where in that family, when they serve children food, they don't put meat in the soup. Everybody will eat without meat. When they finish eating, then somebody now brings out the meat and begins to divide the meat amongst them. That was where the man came from. Woman came from a family where everybody will carry plate and go to the kitchen and load their plates with meat. That's where she came from. Now these two people now got married. There is a problem now. There's a gap. Educational gap sometimes causes misunderstanding too. Religious gap sometimes causes misunderstanding. Cultural gap sometimes will cause misunderstanding. Differences between individuals sometimes will cause misunderstanding. When we say misunderstanding, we mean failure to understand. Just fail to understand. We mean you interpreted it incorrectly. And once misunderstanding starts, it can create a destructive circle of disagreement and quarrels, which may last for a lifetime. Misunderstanding can lead to separation of very close friends. But wherever misunderstanding is, it hinders the work of the gospel. When there is misunderstanding, it can result in maltreatment. People maltreat each other. It can result in losses of things. Misunderstanding can lead to persecution. It can lead to very false doctrine. But generally, misunderstandings occurs when people misinterpret or mistake the true significance of actions or motives of people. David was at the war front basically to greet his brothers and give them food. But by the time he saw Goliath talking, he couldn't get over what Goliath was saying. So he had to say, what is going to be done to the man that deals with this man who is talking like this? But his brother misunderstood him. He said, I know thy pride. I know it's for the naughtiness of thy heart you are come down here. And David said, no, is there not a cause? All of us must pass through this school of misunderstanding. Misunderstanding reveals the weaknesses in us. Shows us that we need to completely rely on the Almighty and not just on our ability. Being misunderstood brings humility into our life. And when people misunderstand your motives and you get agitated and you become uncontrollable, then you are failing in that school. One of the best Negro spiritual songs I think anybody composed. It says, put your hand in the hand of the man who steals the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee. Say, take a look at yourself. Then you can see others differently. If you put your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee, at least by the time you thoroughly study yourself, you will come to the harsh reality that you are not perfect and that you have some faults too in your life. Then you now begin to see others differently. That's why you don't pray somebody said this against them, then you say that against them too. The greatest virtue of the believer is still humility. I want you to understand this very well. But you see, if you are misunderstood, and because of that you become uncooperative, become proud now, now begin to cause trouble, you are misinterpreting yourself in the school of misunderstanding. Several times people misunderstood our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to go through that kind of school when people completely misunderstand what you are doing. Take Mountain of Fire, for example, now. A lot of people completely misunderstand Mountain of Fire. When we pray, they misunderstand the prayer. As a popular preacher in this country, he's always criticizing all other preachers on TV. He picks the ministry one by one and deals with them thoroughly on television. The day he decided to deal with Mountain of Fire, I was listening to him. He said, this, some people are saying this Mountain of Fire. That there is no Mountain of Fire inside the Bible. That the only Mountain of Fire that is inside the Bible is Mount Sinai, where fire came, and there was terrible lightning and thunder. And that is in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. And we are in the New Testament now. If you had bothered to just make a phone call and say, you people call yourself Mountain of Fire, what do you mean? We'll have explained the meaning of that name to him. That the mountain means the mountaintop life. That the fire is the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that when you're on the mountaintop of God and the fire of God falls upon you, then miracles will begin to happen. But he didn't bother to ask questions. So in those days, when Mountain of Fire started, we used to have a mathematical formula. Mountaintop plus Holy Ghost fire is equal to signs and wonders. In those days. And you know, John said, somebody is coming after me. The latchet of whose shoes I'm unfit to untie, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's the fire we're talking about. And then when Mountain of Fire begins to pray, every power doing this, die. A lot of people misunderstand it completely because the meaning of the word die is not clear to them. The bottom line of the word die is stop functioning. That's all. No function. That is, if you have been functioning in my life before, I command the function to cease. That's what it means. That's what it means. But many they don't understand. The disciple are saying, I say, hey, why are these people praying on oil? Why are they praying on water? Why are they praying on handkerchief? They don't understand. There is a church in Brazil. Do you know the name of that church? The Spirit of Jesus Ministry. Jesus used saliva to heal. Angels come to trouble water. And anybody who got inside got healed. So if God could dispatch an angel to go and trouble the water, and if you get there, you get healed. And God said to Naaman, go dip yourself in the river and be healed. Then anybody can pray on any water. And then if the power of God enters into it, you are healed. If there is no power, no problem. But let me tell you something. It is not very easy to be a lone ranger. Neither is it very easy to sing solo. Neither is it very easy for you to go one way and the whole world is going another way. But they will misunderstand you. But after some time, the understanding will become open. There were churches in this Lagos. If you take Mountain of Fire books, they say, get those books out of here. We don't want our members to read them. Now, they are the greatest buyers of prayer in. Now, in fact, to be quite honest with you, majority of MFM books are bought by outsiders, not members. But if you had been discouraged when they began to misunderstand you, then there will be plenty of trouble. I pray that all those who are going through this kind of school now, and people seem to misunderstand you completely, receive strength to move in the name of Jesus. Receive strength, receive strength, receive strength, receive strength, receive strength in the name of Jesus. you discover that you are somebody always quarreling.
Always quarreling.
Always fighting. First thing to do, now study the person. So once you study the person very well, then you do what the Negro preacher says, take a look at yourself very well. Then you can see others differently. When you put your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. School number 8, the school of frustration. Frustration. This is a very serious school. Unfortunately, you and I have no option but to pass through it. If you must become a divine champion. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I read from verse 16. 2 Corinthians 11, 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as if it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, saying that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man spite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak. Albeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly and bold too. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it is not expedient for me to that less glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You can see the frustration being poured out there by the man of God. Fact number one. Everyone who tries to accomplish something great will face frustration. And the more effort you give in trying to accomplish that thing, will the measure of frustration be. But the truth is this. Frustration is not the final answer, but only a final step towards you achieving your goal. Frustration means to bring to nothing, to break, to nullify, to make void, or to disappoint. Frustration is an emotion that occurs when somebody is blocked from reaching his goal. The more important the goal, the greater the frustration. Frustration comes when the result somebody is expecting is not fitting the effort you are putting in. Frustration occurs when your actions are producing less and fewer results than you want. The sources of frustration may be internal or may be external. But when frustration comes in, a person can spiral downward. When frustration comes in, problems that are small now look incredibly energy consuming. If frustration is allowed, it will lead to deviation, it may lead to a fall, because it wastes resources. Frustration will lead to very bad decisions, and it will make even the problem worse. When frustration has fully captured a man, even the efforts you have made before is negated. When frustration is really inside your camp, it discourages any real advancement. There is a reason that God allows frustration to come the way of his champions. Number one, God wants to locate whether there are problems in your character. God wants to know whether you are patient. That's number two. Number three, God wants to know whether you are submitted unto him. That's why he's allowing you to face frustration in the matter. Number four, God wants to know whether you will trust him no matter what. Number five, God wants to reveal how humble you are. And lastly, God wants to reveal your need of God's direction. A lot of champions have given up at this school because they have been frustrated. I pray that every serpent of frustration confronting anyone here shall be buried alive in the name of Jesus. When you allow frustration to get rid of you, it is partly because you don't realize that difficulties are inevitables of life. Job said, man that is born of a woman is of few days and is filled with trouble. Life is filled with trouble. Complaining about your life just makes it worse. Feeling sorry for yourself just makes it worse. Starting a pity party. Ah, what kind of life is this? Why is my life like this? Why am I like this? We call it a pity party. A pity party will just worsen the situation. Crying is even worse. Because all the crying you are crying, the devil will begin a praise worship. Because that's what he wants you to be doing, just be crying there. The devil is clever. He knows that crying will not solve any problem. Even men themselves, if they want to be honest, they know that crying does not solve any problem. If crying was a problem solver, the whole of the world would be one large crying arena. If I know that the more I cry, the faster my problem will go. If there will be no quiet in the whole of anywhere again, including Lagos here. Hey, 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 everybody will be screaming on the street because it solves problems. But crying never solves any problem. Just adds to it. Men in the Bible just sat down and cried. That cry didn't bring anything out. When the Philistines went to the camp of David and carried the wife, carried the children and went away, the Bible said, when David came back, he broke down and cried bitterly. The crying did not solve any problem. It was when he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he consulted the prophet of God. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Shall I recover? The man said, yes, you shall pursue. You shall overtake them. And you shall recover. And I prophesy upon your life too, that you shall pursue. You shall overtake. And you shall recover. You shall pursue. You shall overtake. You shall recover. You shall pursue. You shall overtake. You shall recover. You shall pursue. You shall overtake. You shall recover. You shall pursue. You shall overtake and you shall recover. In the name of Jesus. It was when he rose up like that, things began to happen. So those of us who celebrate pity parties and we are used to crying, each time you start, your enemy will start singing that they have succeeded. So crying is not the way out. To stand up like a soldier and fight back. The Bible says, the Lord of hosts, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. God is not a civilian, a soldier. When you are in the school of frustration and you want to pass through that school, the first thing to do is to know that every man will face adversity in life. Adversity is universal. Our battles may be different from each other, but there will be a battle. And that adversity has no respect for where you're coming from or who you are. Number two, determine the cause of your frustration. Determine the cause. And three, seek the counsel of God and listen to God. Don't make matters worse by seeking the counsel of the enemy. And then lastly, remember that whatever frustration is facing you as a child of God, shall pass away. The way you handle the frustration determines who you are, where you are going. It determines how mature you are. It determines so many things about your life. This is a problem many people don't realize. This is a problem many people shy away from. There are many people in life, all they need to succeed is for one troublemaker to keep frustrating them. And as far as that person continues, they begin to move. This evening, beloved, we're going to pray some prayers here. Let's rise up on our feet now. I want you to talk to the Lord yourself. Say, Father, I'm here. Anything you need to do in my life to make me your divine champion, do it now. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Whatever you need to do in my life to make me a divine champion, do it now. Amen. Say, Father, forgive me for wherever I failed you. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to say that. In Jesus' name we pray. The following prayers I want you to pray are for those who want to rise up with wings as eagles and who want to get to a location in their lives where they will rewrite their family history by becoming the champions of God. Can you shout this loud and clear? Say, my spiritual eyes. My spiritual ears. Open by fire! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it now. You need to pray this prayer from your heart. My spiritual ears. My spiritual eyes. Open by fire. Open by fire. Open by fire. Open by fire. Sandikayaba Ribos upon the Kayabo Shantera Bokonta. Aha, 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 aha. In Jesus' name we pray. Aha. This is number two. Power drinkers. When they drink your power dry, you cannot fight in the spirit realm. Power drinkers. Hear the word of the Lord. Vomit my power. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. Yes. That's right. Receive your power back. Receive it back. Receive it back. Receive it back. Any power draining the power of God in your life, recover your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Now this last one, pray with boiling anger. Say, power that cannot be insulted by any witchcraft power. Fall upon me now in the name of Jesus. Masekaya bo shantara bo kaya ba. In Jesus' name we pray. A louder amen. Let us share the grace in fellowship.